Now the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son. And he named him Jesus.
So it's interesting that the Gospels, we have four Gospels, as you know, and each of them begin differently, and each of them either deal or don't deal with the birth of Jesus. Mark doesn't really, as such. But Matthew, Luke, and John all do, and they present it in different ways. So these are ancient documents, 2,000 years old each, and each has their own lens that they are telling the story of Jesus. And so we note in this unit, it talks about the birth of Jesus, and that word is Genesis. So it's talking about the Genesis of Jesus. And so in last week, we looked at the Gospel of Luke, and that was through Mary's perspective. Mary, the contemplative, Mary, a woman of devotion, who was listening for God's voice in a very active way. And then in Matthew, the story is focused on Joseph. And Joseph is a man of action. And indeed, there's never one word from Joseph anywhere in the Gospels. He is truly the silent man. He's the walking man. James Taylor used to have a song called "The Walking Man." I like James Taylor. I don't know. Does he still sing now? A little bit, does he? All right. But he used to sing a lot when I heard him. The walking man. Well, Joseph could be the walking man. He's certainly the silent man. Doesn't say anything, but he is a man of action. He hears and he acts. So they are different stories, different perspectives. Last week we considered Mary, this week we consider Joseph. In the text we just heard, I won't reread it, but there's the birth or Genesis of Jesus, the Messiah he's called, took place in this way. So Matthew is going to tell that story for us. Remember that they were engaged to be married, and marriage in that day was a two-step process. So they are betrothed to one another. Mary would have been a very young woman, a girl really, 13, 14, 15, 16, somewhere in there. And it was an arranged marriage. They have committed to one another through the workings of their family. They've agreed, but it's an arranged marriage. She's still living in the family home. And they are waiting for the time when they would join together. And interesting, we have accounts and other documents of how that would happen, and there would be a long procession. There would be a procession from the bride's house with the family and the whole community marching and celebrating as they would make their way towards the home of the groom, where she would then join and live. So that was a part of the whole deal. So Mary was awaiting that big family communal experience. Of course, we know that she is already expecting a child. And we don't know how Joseph heard about that. Did Mary tell him? An angel came, spoke to me, and this is what's happened to me? Or is she just leaving that completely up to God, and God will do his work in Joseph's heart and mind? We don't know. I got a feeling it was actually the latter. Because we do know that Joseph is upset, and Joseph is angry, and Joseph is thinking, gee, what's happened here? My wife is expecting, and I can see that is happening, and I know it's not my child. All in the light that they were going to have this big family communal journey, procession from one home to another. So Joseph decides that he is going to divorce her. It would be a formal divorce. Put her aside, but not in a public shaming way. That could easily have been done, shamed. I mean, it would be the end of her life. Even as it is, it's the end for Mary. In light of that, we can see how powerful Mary's response of her "let it be" happened. I mean, that's just very powerful in light of how that would be understood in the community. So Joseph is a righteous man. He's a devout person. He's going to put her aside. Devout here means that he is committed to the Torah, to the law. And the law had answers to how these situations were to be dealt with, and the woman was to be put aside. That's just the way it was, and he was a devout, righteous person. He had to follow the law in that sense. He was committed to himself and to his understanding. So that's the ethical crisis that Joseph is in. We have to try to put ourselves into a situation of 2,000 years ago in a small little town, Nazareth, which is not even mentioned in the entire Old Testament. It's nowhere. Small little town, several hundred people. And what Joseph is dealing with. So it's a very powerful, you can imagine Joseph in his head, in his mind, what's going on. Wow, how did this happen? What is going on? I'm just trying to get married. I thought this would be a cool thing, a good thing. Beatrice and Luis are here. They were married last week. Hey, you guys, rock and roll. You survived your first week of marriage. Way to go. Excellent. You're looking happy, smiling. That's good. Good sign. All right. Great. I knew that would be. Not so happy for this couple at this point. So that's a situation they find themselves in, and then what happens? All of a sudden, an angel appears, says that this is God's work. So it's a sideways move. All of a sudden, something happens in Joseph's mind and heart, which just is totally sideways. You ever had one of those situations of any sort? The track is going this way, and something happens. Boom! Completely, 90 degrees, the other way, this way. A sideways move. You weren't anticipating that. You weren't expecting that. Who would? Joseph wasn't expecting this. Can I hear God's voice when the sideways move happens? Told the story now and tells the story of an athlete. He breaks his leg. His career is over. Huge blow on his leg. My career is over, or I receive a new vocation from God, what he has for me. The choice, the response is ours. Joseph has the same situation. What will he do now when this sideways move comes? And it comes not just to Joseph, it comes to us. Different ways. How do we hear God's voice in these surprising ways, whether we receive them at the beginning as good ways or challenging ways? Doesn't matter. It's a sideways move. What's my response? I don't know. Was this received as good news to Joseph in the beginning? We might think that was great. Wow, great. He might have had, obviously, he had it set up in his mind. You know, this is what I'm doing. I got it all set. I'm putting her aside. I'm moving on. Sorry for Mary, but that's the way it is. And now he's got to deal with, if he goes this way, this whole incredible story, which nobody will ever believe, and this is going to be hanging over our heads for the rest of our lives. So I don't know how he responded initially. We know his action finally. He's told, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid here because I'm a big, powerful, scary angel. That's not the point here. It's don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, we're told. Don't be afraid to go against the law. The law, the Torah, said you were supposed to act in this way. This is what Joseph is upset about. If I act in this way, I will not be living in a devoted way to the law, the Torah, which I as a good Jew am committed to. And the angel has to calm him. Don't be afraid. It's okay. You can even act in a way which is against the law. Don't be afraid. The child is through the Holy Spirit. So the angel speaks to the issue that is the crisis for him. That may be hard for us to respond and believe, but this person is committed to the law. It's what holds the Jewish people together as a nation, the Torah. Now he has to act in a different way. And then the angel reveals the mission, and this is really the critical piece. What is the mission of the child? And so two names are given, and the first name is Jesus. She will bear a son. His name is Jesus, which is the Greek form for Joshua, the Hebrew form, which means God saves, or he saves. And then it's spelled out, because he will save his people from their sin. This is what Jesus means. And the angel saying, this is literally what he will do. He will save them from their sin. It was a world that took sin seriously. There have been books written in the last number of years saying, whatever happened to sin? Title on the bestsellers list in the New York Times for years, whatever happened to sin? Because we don't talk about sin anymore. And this is not even a religious writer's writing it. But he says, how come we don't deal with this idea of sin anymore? We're told here, Jesus comes, God sends him so that we can have our sin dealt with, our brokenness. What keeps us from being whole? What hinders us? Certainly what hinders us from experiencing God. This is the name of Jesus. God comes to work in our lives to deal with our sin. So the writer says. So he doesn't come. This is the Messiah, right? The first line of this text talks about Jesus the Messiah. So the Messiah is not coming as the great liberator. He is not Simon Bolivar of the Middle East, you know, who did the great liberating work in Latin America. This is the one who will do so in the Middle East. No, he won't come as that form of liberator. He comes as the one who will deal with us on a sin level, who it's the bridge that connects us back to God. That's the whole point of this reality. That's the idea of Jesus. That's the name of Jesus. Matthew says it. He will deal with our sin. And secondly, we're also told in citing Isaiah that his name is Emmanuel. Emmanuel. El is one of the names for God, El Shaddai, El. Manu is with us. Emmanuel, God is with us. God is with us in this child. He is in solidarity with us in our human condition. That's the beauty of that name, Emmanuel. He knows all about our brokenness. He knows about your brokenness. He knows about your failures. He knows about my failures. He knows about when you messed up. And you know what? For God, it's not a surprise. He's not saying, wow, that really blows my mind. Steve, you goofed up. I didn't think Steve would do that. Darlene, maybe, but Steve, I didn't think so. He's not saying that. He's not saying, wow, I'm really surprised. In fact, failure is part of the human process. It's part of your journey. It's going to happen, man. Happen somewhere. We mess up. It's part. And how we respond to that actually is critical. It's how we learn. It's how we grow spiritually. It's how we rely on the one who is there for us. God is not blown away by it. He's anticipating that we fail somewhere. He is Emmanuel. So he's in solidarity with us. He walks with us. It's a beautiful thing. He is Jesus. He is Emmanuel. His mission is to bring us back to God. Every person on the planet, he has a desire that we will know God, that we will find him. I like that text you read from Revelation at the beginning. I hadn't actually noticed that before, where it says, every creature in heaven and earth will praise. So if we take that literally, there is going to be a moment when every creature just starts singing and praising God. I'm just picturing that in my mind. The whales. Ooh, big sounds of whales. And the monkeys in Costa Rica in the forest. Going crazy. The crickets going. Whatever it is. The dogs. Woo! The wolves. For a few minutes, I don't know how long that goes, the world just goes crazy in praise. That happens like that. That'd be pretty cool to see. Wow. Because this child is Jesus, he is the one who is Emmanuel with us, Matthew says. And so we give praise to God for what he is doing. Not going, David. All right. I like this quote by name. I might have to have you do that. But we'll stay with this one. Go back to that quote, please. One back. About another one? There we go. Names tell stories. Most of all, the name which is above all other names, the name of Jesus. In his name I am called to live. His name has to become my house, my dwelling place, my refuge, my ark. Note, his name has to start telling the story of being born, growing up, growing old, and dying, revealing a God who loved us so much that he sent his only child to us. The names, Jesus, the name, Emmanuel, other names, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. We sang two songs speaking of those names. We hold those names over us. Karl Rahner says we hold that name of Jesus as we enter the new year. That's our banner over our year. We cling to him, Jesus, Abba the Father. We hold on to that reality. That's what Nouwen is saying there. And finally, we see that Jesus is called, or Joseph is called, to a greater righteousness, meaning that he's invited in a new way to connect with God. No longer to connect under the law, the Torah, all those rules, but he's now entered into this new stage of grace, of God's new work, God's new humanity. No longer Jew or Greek, but this new humanity that's based on Jesus' work, where we respond in grace and freedom. That's the new way. And Joseph is one of the very first to enter into that way. So it's a beauty, it's a wonder, and Joseph has the faith to open up and say yes to him. Those are the workings of what Matthew is saying for Joseph and for us in this Christmas season. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and note, he named him Jesus. This is an amazing obedience for Joseph. John said that he would say yes to that. Doesn't send an email. doesn't make a call saying, what do you think about this? Get your support group together and figure it out. It's just, wow, that is great faith. It's another model for us. Mary and Joseph both. Mary as the contemplative, Joseph as a person of action, leading us and saying, will we respond to God? Will we know Him in this active way? So where does it all lead us? First of all, we see the action of Joseph. I like Michael Green's statement, Christianity is not good advice about morals. It is good news about God and what He has done for us. So the whole Christmas story is about good news. It's what we are about. It's good news to us that God takes on flesh and breaks into our world so that we might know Him in a powerful way and so that we might enter into that reality of knowing Him that is told in the book of Revelation, that we might enter into that. Good news. So Jesus is always good news to us. So all of the commercialism that we have around this day and how much stuff we will buy and all the consumerism, emails every day. If you have an iPhone, every day I get the Best Buy. Best Buy comes to me every day. Beth gets, for some reason, Panasonic. Messages from Panasonic every day. I get Best Buy. What else? I get some music stores. They're all trying to sell me something. And so we can say, well, Christmas, that's what it's really about. It's about buying. No, it's about God's good news to you and to me. That Jesus has come to deal with you in such a fundamental way that you can be connected with Him forever. God loves you so much, loves me so much, that He wants to deal with this propensity to turn away and to depend on yourself. And God is saying, you cannot live like that forever. You cannot live depending on yourself. We need to work together. It's dependence on Abba, the Creator, the Sustainer. And that is what our lives are about, to learn that reality. That's the good news. And the second piece the story tells is of how God works in this holistic way as the Trinitarian God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. You notice how the story just weaves those names together. Last week in this way, the birth, the genesis of Jesus comes about through the Holy Spirit, which means God's creative power, His reality in the here and now. God's work in the here and now is through the Holy Spirit. His breath. Spirit is ruach. His pneuma, His breath. And His breath working in your life and my life to renew us and restore us and to energize us. Ezekiel says to give life to dry bones. So we can be restored and have life. That's what the story is about. It's about good news, about God's work. And then thirdly, we see it. It's about this person of action. It's about Mary's fiat. It's about Joseph's action, his yes. And finally, Christmas is about this invitation to act. You and me, to act. To say yes. To open our hearts. To open our lives to Him. And to act. Act. That's the invitation. We held our food drive 2 weeks ago, and Rob was reminding me that yesterday they were coming by the church to pick up their food hampers. The food that we get from the food drive goes into a particular love gift, a big hamper of food that every one of the clients gets. And there was a line that went from the church all the way down the road, all the way around the bank, and up Weston Road. Imagine that. All coming into the church to get their hamper of food, which we had worked hard as a community, 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 bags out there to different homes collecting food, so that finally they would get this result of an action. And faith is finally about an action. So this week, I received a note from Diana Stapleton, the chair of the food bank. It's a note of thanks for your work. Waze is able to provide help, hampers to help over 900 people each month. People that live in Weston and are struggling to pay their rent and feed their families. Here, we are able to help people like Chasma and her family, recently arrived refugees from Afghanistan. This family came to Canada with very little after fleeing violence near their home. They were so happy to find the community had services like the food bank to help them get on their feet. Chasma now has a part-time job, and her children are doing well in school, and they feel safe and supported in Weston. Now, that's just one family from Afghanistan who came here, who know nobody. And now they're getting a bit of help. And we can magnify that by hundreds of stories. And so our little bit of action touches them, reminds them that, hey, there's a community ready to help us in some way. I was talking to my friend from Bolivia, who I work with in the language. And she was saying, you know, Canada's a wonderful place. It is very welcoming. But when you've been here a little while, they forget. It's very hard for the immigrant to keep feeling received because the barriers start going up. She feels that I'm not, she talks about herself. She's well educated, her language is good. I notice the barriers. And so these families coming in, we help them, but they got a long journey ahead of them. So Diana is saying, man, thank you that this community of faith is here to give assistance, to give help. So will we say yes? Will we continue to act? That's what the faith story is about. It's what Advent's about. It's what Christmas is about. Saying yes to God's great work in Jesus. May we hear, may we continue to say yes through the season and into the new year. In Jesus' name, amen.